Random calling. David here. On the other end of the line, I've got award-winning Blue Badge Guide, Simon. And I'm going to get Simon to talk a little bit about two walks that he's doing on Monday. So, first of all, good morning, Simon, and thanks for pitching up.
So, thank you, David. Good morning. Lovely to be with you and lovely to be with our audience.
So tell me what you're doing on Monday, the double act.
Yes, double bill on Monday. Well, I'm really excited about both, but particularly Monday morning, because for me, it's my first time guiding back in Westminster Abbey, having not been there, well, for some months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the one building of all, the buildings in London, it's the one I would say that I've missed the most.
Uh-huh. Mary has just gone out the door to her first guiding of the Abbey this morning, Saturday morning. And, there's a huge difference now. They are, are limiting the numbers to 5 people per guide, so a total of 6. So before they limited it to...
Yes, so...
Go on.
What a great experience for our visitors to just be in a group of 5 people with a guide. I mean, because, right, normally it's maximum 30.
Yeah.
In a group. Which is also, it's a great time to visit the Abbey if you can at the moment.
Absolutely. In fact, 6 booked this morning, so... there are 2 guides on. Aaron and Mary are splitting the 6 of them, so they're getting virtually a personalized tour. Those 6 people, they'll each be in a group of 3. So there you go. Special times.
Fantastic.
If you're an Abbey walker, tell me a little bit about the a favorite bit in the Abbey, or what is it? You say you love it and you've missed it dearly. What? Elaborate, Simon, please.
Okay, well, I suppose first and foremost, just in terms of a building, it's undoubtedly the most important building in the country.
Uh-huh.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Architecturally, spiritually, culturally, the whole story of our wonderful country is told in one single building.
Yeah.
And, if you were to go to Paris and do the wonderful Paris walks there, you have to go to different buildings to experience different things. So you have to go to Notre Dame to learn about, the coronation of kings and emperors. But you have to go to the Pantheon, the Valhalla of the great and the good. And you have to go to, other buildings. But in the Abbey, it's all there. It's a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
For the whole story of the country.
Fantastic.
So, coronations of 38 kings and queens. It's the burial place of 17 monarchs. And for me, of course, and I know for you probably, David, as well, it's Poets Corner, really. That's the heart of Westminster Abbey.
Yeah. The problem there is almost an editorial problem. What do you leave out? Because the riches are so vast and so extensive. So, I mean, how many stops? Have you ever counted about how many stops are there on it, on your route,
approximately? Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I'd have to think about it. So I guess it's probably 15, 16 stops.
Uh-huh.
Depending on sometimes certain chapels are not available for... But yeah, so it's about 16, maybe 16 stops.
And I think, if you go in there without Simon, or if you go in there without Mary... You're sort of overwhelmed. You don't know where to start. You don't know where anything is. If you take a guidebook in, well, then your nose is always in the guidebook and you're not seeing what's all around you. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But, surely that's the case. It just makes such a difference going in there with somebody who knows what they're doing and who knows the place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, it's... You just spend so much time, trying to figure things out on your own, even with an audio guide. As guides, we direct people's attention to things in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
don't we? And actually, of course, when we're doing the walk, of course, we're walking from the tube station to the Abbey. And of course, we're also looking at things outside the Abbey to begin with. And, you know, people perhaps wouldn't know about those 10 statues above the, the west door of the Abbey, which I'm not going to give too much away, but of course, you know, there's a most wonderful surprise statue in the middle, isn't there?
Yeah, it's this is something I've thought about a lot in the last couple of years. It's it's not just the Abbey tour, but a walking tour generally. It's an extremely efficient use of your time, one, and two, the route. That's actually one of the important things that you're paying for, is the route, the way the stuff is strung together. You just could not do it off your own bat, cold.
Yeah. I mean, for example, when we meet for our Abbey walk, we generally meet at St. James Park tube station. And then when you walk from St. James Park along towards the Abbey, it's a great approach to the Abbey because you get the full impact of the West Front. Again, so the route is key, absolutely.
Yeah.
The route is key.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to ask you about, and you brought it up, was what about the route from the tube stop to the Abbey? Do you guide along the way? And I was going to ask that because I've got something for you, and this is also very London Walks. One of the things I love about London Walks is its collegiate nature and the way we share stuff with one another. And I've just come across the most fascinating tidbit, and it's very much of our times, about St. Margaret's. So you're about to get this now, Simon. Buried in St. Margaret's, and I'll leave it to you to explain what St. Margaret's is in just a minute, but buried there is a guy named Ignatius Sancho, who has the distinction of being the first black British composer. He has a distinction of being the first black registered voter, and he has a distinction of being the first black person in this country to have had an obituary written about him. And he was painted by Gainsborough. So, you know, I came across that in it's the kind of thing that is not in any guidebook. It's a history that I was reading. And I stumbled on that. I thought, oh my goodness, that's contemporary, and I want to share that with my colleagues. So there you go. And you now know about Ignatius Sancho.
Well, I did not know about Ignatius Sancho, so he's now going to be woven into the into the ever evolving tapestry of our story. That's great.
I've left a fingerprint on your Westminster Abbey tour, Simon. That's wonderful.
That's what's great about our community, isn't it?
Yeah.
As you say, our collegiate approach.
Yeah.
We're always doing this. We're always adding and building.
Can I get you to say a little bit about St. Margaret's Westminster so that they know about where Sancho is, Ignatius Sancho?
Yes, of course. Well, so St. Margaret's Westminster is the easiest way to describe it is it's the church which is next to Westminster Abbey, and it's sometimes described as being if the Westminster Abbey is the mother church or the sort of the mother sheep, then St. Margaret's is the little lamb sort of next to Westminster Abbey. Because when Westminster Abbey was built, it was built as a monastic foundation, as a Benedictine monastery, founded in 960 AD, and the monks were finding early on that the local lay parishioners that were worshipping in the nave of the abbey were just too noisy and disturbing the prayers and the chanting of the monks. So the St. Margaret's was built as an overflow church in the 15th century next to the abbey.
Yeah, that is so beautifully put, the little lamb next to its ewe. It's just wonderful. Yeah. And Simon, okay, so what about the one in the afternoon now? Your afternoon walk on Monday.
Yeah, so that's called A Village in Piccadilly. And we meet at Piccadilly Circus. We meet just outside the Criterion, what used to be the Criterion restaurant. Now it's a slightly different name, but Exit 4, I think that's right. You have to check that. We meet at what is one of the busiest intersections in London. Some 70 million people passing through this great sort of, busy area. But of course, what we do on the walk is we take people away from that very busy intersection and we show them, well, what we describe as a little village, a little neighbourhood, in fact, a royal and aristocratic neighbourhood, which is tucked minutes away from the hustle and bustle of Piccadilly Circus, which people would perhaps not think to find for themselves if they didn't have us to open their eyes and show them.
Yeah, it's just divine, isn't it? It's got a couple of those shopping arcades, is that what you call it? It's got how many shopping arcades on it?
Burlington Arcade, which perhaps many people will know, just on the north side of Piccadilly. But actually, we go to one that is just a fraction older, which is called the Royal Opera Arcade. And that is the oldest, to my knowledge, the oldest and first purpose-built shopping arcade in England. And that's one that people are, it would be, I think it'd be quite tough for them to find it if they didn't have us to show them. Yeah. We have two beautiful theatres on the walk, the Theatre Royal Haymarket and Her Majesty's Theatre, both of which have fascinating stories. We have a beautiful square. Of course, we've got hundreds of garden squares in London, but it's the squarest square in London, St. James's Square. It has one of your favourite places in London on it, the London Library, tucked away in the corner there. And we visit Jermyn Street, which, of course, is this wonderful street full of gentlemen's outfitters. And what's really great about the walk also is that we get to visit a couple of emporia. Is emporia the plural of emporium?
I think it might be.
I have to think about that. I hope so. Yeah. Emporia, these wonderful shops which have royal warrants and actually which have their own very long and fascinating history. And because, again, one of the great things about being a guide, and you know from your Kensington walk and Hampstead, all of our walks, is that we get to build up these relationships with people on the streets and in the shops. Yeah. So we get to take people in. And we get to do some high-end sampling on the village in Piccadilly Walk. That's all I'm going to say. So we're going to have to come and find out what I mean.
Yeah, fantastic.
Some high-end sampling.
Yeah. I made the point. I interviewed a Hampstead artist yesterday, and one of the things that came up about this was that they're people-wise. It's a tripod, really. I mean, there's the guide. And there are the community of guides. There are the walkers. But then there are also the Londoners, the people that, you know, we get to know and in many cases introduce them to. And, you know, it might be shopkeepers or just kind of fixtures in any given neighborhood. And that's an important element as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when you walk through these neighborhoods, it's quite common for us to sort of, you know, those people that we know to say hi, you know, hi David, hi Simon, how are you? And that's actually really nice. It's nice for us, it's nice for them, it's really, really nice for our walkers, because I think that makes them feel that we really do know.
Yeah, I've
know London, right?
I've had it said to me many times in, for example, Kensington, does everybody in Kensington know you? Oh, there goes the wretched phone.
That's the bat phone.
And Madam's not here.
Westminster Abbey, David.
I think the answer phone's just kicked in. Anyway,
and actually, just to sort of link back to Westminster Abbey as well, is that again because of our very special relationship that we have with Westminster Abbey as guides. Again, that gives us that kind of special sort of access, which you know. People wouldn't get being able to talk to, you know, one of the marshals, one of the paid staff at the Abbey or the volunteers, or indeed perhaps even, you know, the Dean occasionally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, that's worth its weight in gold, I think, that relationship that the guide has, as you say, with the community.
It really is. Yeah. Well, I shall be thinking about you on Monday morning and feeling good for you, Simon. So how long's it been?
Thank you. And I'll say a prayer for you in the Abbey.
Okay, thanks.
I'll say a prayer for us all.
Thanks very much, Simon. Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, I promise not to keep you for more than 15 minutes, and we've just gone over 50 minutes. So I'll bid you farewell, young man.
All right.
Thanks very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye. And here's a little postscript to this morning's interview with Simon. He got back to me a few hours later. It was clear he was on a roll. Simon said, "Hey, and how about this? I've just got a hot tip from one of my London art contacts. He rang up to tell me about a wonderful new exhibition that's just opened in a little private gallery in St. James's. Some things were just meant to be. The fit is perfect for my village in Piccadilly Walk. It's right there, practically on my route, so I'll either be taking them by it, we'll do some quick en passant window shopping, or I'll give them very good directions and the strongest possible recommendation at Walk's End that they make their way back there. It's only 100 yards or so from where we end. Best possible encore for the walk. Stop by that little private gallery and spend half an hour feasting their eyes on 400-year-old masterpieces that they'll never get another chance to see. It's completely free to go in. My contact says it's the best exhibition of its kind to hit London this century. Not to be missed. And if we're honest, all the more satisfying because most people will miss it. They'll miss it because most people don't venture over the threshold into private art galleries. But trust me, I'm going to make sure my walkers will." And what Simon was saying, well, it was, of course, music to my ears. A classic London Walks impromptu. It absolutely underlined the point made in the interview about the route, about the best possible use of your time. What a great tip. What a bonus. What an afternoon those walkers are going to have tomorrow. And there you've got it in its distilled essence. It's what you get from a great guide. It's why you get a great guide.